Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to The Conservative Cauldron, Bewitching Radio.
Everybody, you are listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I'm your host, Becky Noble. It is great to be with everybody again this week. Thank God it's Friday, as usual. And glad you all could be here. Glad everybody could be here to hang out and, talk about all the stuff that's been going on this week. And there is never a shortage, is there? Especially with the train wreck that is Obamacare. And we've got that. We've got the elections this past Tuesday in New Jersey and Virginia. We've got some Democrat senators that are sweating bullets because of Obamacare. We've got all kinds of stuff. So, let's just go ahead and jump right in. There is a new Gallup poll out today that right now, as of today, that 4.8 million people have lost their health insurance plans. And this continues to get, it seems every day that it just continues to get worse and worse. New information comes out that the administration knew about this, they knew about that, they knew about the other, they knew about, apparently they knew about it all, and they knew about it, probably 3 years ago when this whole fiasco started. And yesterday, President Obama went on TV. He was interviewed by NBC's Chuck Todd, probably because he knew that Chuck Todd would throw him softballs, which is exactly what happened. And, for anybody who saw this apology, and I looked at it myself a couple of times, it was the non-apology. It was the apology that wasn't, because what he said was that he apologized for the non-working of the website, for the total, bomb that the website is. But he never really apologized to people. There was really never a total, I'm sorry for this whole nightmare that you're experiencing to the American people. And what he said was, I don't have any audio here with me, but he used phrases like that he apologized for the American people, quote, finding themselves in this predicament with their insurance plans being cut. And it almost sounded like, and in fact I heard several radio show hosts, that said, "Hey, I'd like for somebody who does this for a living that would dissect this sentence, that would go through word for word what the president said in this one particular sentence. Somebody who is in law enforcement, a detective, a psychoanalyst, maybe a lawyer, anybody who would dissect words and phrases for a living, and to go through this one particular sentence and really kind of chop it up little by little, word by word, just to see exactly what he said." And it was, Barack Obama has such a habit of inflicting himself and talking about himself into to any given situation. And a lot of times when he's making a speech, and he's making a speech that really has nothing to do with him, you know, you can go back and listen to that speech and count the number of I's and me's and my and those kind of words. And, you know, it's especially in light of what he tried to do earlier this week, you know, with the if you like your health insurance plan, you can keep it. If you like your doctor, you can keep her or him. And we have since found out that not only is that not true, but the president has been on TV, he's been on radio, he's been in print, he's been in every single media venue that you can think of, reciting this lie over and over and over again. And earlier this week, he tried to do a little damage control with it, and it just, I think he just made things worse. Here it is.
Now, the other news that people have focused on lately has to do with notices that some Americans have gotten from their insurance companies suggesting that because of the Affordable Care Act, they may be losing the plan that they bought. Now, while virtually every insurer is offering new, better plans and competing for these folks' business, I realize that can be scary for people if they just get some notice like that. Now, if you have or had one of these plans before the Affordable Care Act came into law, and you really liked that plan, what we said was you could keep it if it hasn't changed since the law was passed. So we wrote into the Affordable Care Act, you're grandfathered in on that plan. But if the insurance company changes it, then what we're saying is they've got to change it to a higher standard. They've got to make it better. They've got to improve the quality of the plan that they're selling. And that's part of the promise that we made, too. That's why we went out of our way to make sure that the law allowed for grandfathering, but if we had allowed these old plans to be downgraded or sold to new enrollees once the law had already passed, then we would have broken an even more important promise, making sure that Americans gain access to health care that doesn't leave them one illness away from financial ruin. So the bottom line is that we are making the insurance market better for everybody.
Okay, you know, it's almost like that the president doesn't realize that every single word, virtually every single word that he says cannot be recorded and played back at some point. You know, the magnitude of the lie is I think is what has people so, you know, they're really having a hard time wrapping their brain around it. And you know, this whole thing with all of these people who have not been grandfathered in, and their insurance plans have not been grandfathered in. And like I said at the beginning of the show here, the Gallup poll that is just out today says that as of right now today, that there are 4.8 million Americans who have lost their insurance. And I think we all know that the numbers are just going to grow. It's just going to get worse and worse by the day. And not only was this lie of if you like your health plan, you can keep it, and if you like your doctor, you can keep her or him, but when this whole thing started, there was also what was also touted in this plan was that premiums for families were going to go down $2,500 a year. And that's another thing that we've seen that is nothing but the truth. We've seen just, you know, story after story after story of people who, if they haven't gotten their plan completely canceled by their insurance company, that if they're still getting insurance through an employer, that the choices that they are getting from that employer to sign up for, their premiums and what they're paying monthly on a monthly basis is growing exponentially. I mean, you've got people going from $300 and some change a month to maybe $500 or $600. And when you're talking about people who are average middle income, middle class people with a couple of kids and that's a big chunk of money for people. And it's, you know, it's just going to, I think the numbers are going to balloon. I think they're going to balloon from here. And there's also some other poll numbers I have here, too. These are from the Pew Research poll. This poll was taken October 30th through November the 6th. And because of all of this, because of all of this Obamacare snafu, the president's job approval numbers are dipping, and they're dipping bad. As I said, this poll was taken October 30th through November the 6th. And right now, the approval numbers of his job on the economy, these numbers have him at 65% disapproving, 31% approving. Healthcare numbers, his job approval numbers on healthcare, 37% approving, 59% disapproving. So, and I know that his overall approval numbers are, I think the last number I heard, was at around 39% overall in total. And so those are also numbers. Not only are the numbers of people who are becoming uninsured, who never intended to become uninsured and never thought that they would be among the uninsured, not only are those numbers dropping, but the president's poll approval numbers are dropping like a rock as well. And we had these elections earlier in the week in New Jersey and Virginia. I'm going to get to that in just a minute. But, you know, everything is related here. Healthcare is related to politics, is related to job approval numbers. It's all interconnected and it's all related. And also earlier this week there was a group of, I believe it was a group of 14 Democrat senators who met with the president. And these are senators who are, most of them, a fair number of them are from red states, and they're up for re-election next year. And they're sweating bullets. This is, I got this from the Newsmax website. It was a report from Politico. Panic is growing among Senate Democrats facing re-election next year that the disastrous rollout of Obamacare could prove to be the fatal nail in the coffin of their Washington careers. I'm sorry, it was not 14 senators. It was 16. 16 senators met with President Barack Obama this week with a simple message: get your act together or your health care reform could lose our support. And, you know, if that happens, that's huge. That's huge when you've got that, when you've got a chunk of Democrat senators like that who are threatening to withdraw support from the signature piece of legislation that was the signature piece of legislation of Barack Obama's presidency. And it goes on to say that the group agreed not to go full out in demanding delays to the Affordable Care Act's timetable. However, they were told they can criticize the act and its introduction. Already, Senators Jean Shaheen of New Hampshire and Mary Landrieu of Louisiana, both of whom are up for re-election in 2020, have separately proposed legislation they believe will curb the public's anger at the health care reforms. So out of this group of senators, these two, Mary Landrieu and Jean Shaheen, I think they're sweating the biggest bullets. It goes on to say here that there's 16 senators here who did meet with the president. And it says, for now, Democrats are listening, but it's unclear how long they will heed the warning. A total of 20 Democrat-held Senate seats are up for grabs next year. Republicans would need to win 6 of those, plus hold on to the 13 seats to all 13 of their seats to regain control of the upper chamber. So you got that going on. You've got some Democrat senators who are really vulnerable. Mary Landrieu is one of the most vulnerable. I think with this whole Obamacare rollout, she's having nightmares of her seat slipping away. Landrieu is one of the most vulnerable. Say that 3 times. Democrats seeking re-election next year, others including Mark Begich of Alaska. And as a side note to that, I've heard rumblings that you know, you see and you hear things on the internet, so you're not, you know, It's true. It's not true. Who knows? But I have heard rumblings that there is a movement for Sarah Palin to run in Alaska for Mark Begich's seat. So that would make things a little interesting. Like I said, Mary Landrieu, Jean Shaheen, Mark Begich of Alaska, Mark Pryor of Arkansas, and Kay Hagan of North Carolina, they have all pushed for a delay in the enrollment deadline. So there's that. I'm sure that the senators, they're not going to sit down and shut up anytime fast because they see their Washington career slipping away a little bit. So anyway, when I get back, I'm going to take a break, and we are going to talk about the elections in New Jersey and Virginia this week. And we got some, I don't know, well, you know, we got the whole, the Toronto mayor. What, any of my Canadian friends, you know, what? What's up with that guy? Anyway, I'm going to take a break here. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about a whole bunch of other things. So thanks for listening. You're listening to The Conservative Cauldron. I'll be back in just a bit.
You're listening to The Conservative Cauldron, Bewitching Radio.
And we're back. You're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I'm your host, Becky Noble. I want to thank everybody for hanging out with me tonight and talking about some of all the busy happenings this week, elections and Obamacare and all kinds of other fun stuff that we have to talk about tonight. I want to thank everybody for hanging out, TGIF as usual. We were just talking about the latest goings-on in regards to the Obamacare rollout. The Country Music Awards were held, too, the other night. I believe that was Wednesday night. And Brad Paisley and Carrie Underwood made quite a statement. And, you know, the country music community is a very unique one. But they had a little fun with Obamacare. Let's listen.
Be too hard, right?
Why is it spinning?
Oh, it does that.
Okay. Why is it smoking?
I don't... Maybe we should restart it.
Obamacare by morning.
Why is it taking
so long?
Oh, hold on. I'm going to wind up with hemorrhoids. If I sit here till dawn, we'll have cataracts and dementia. Oh, this is getting on my last nerve. Obamacare by morning, over six people.
So that was at the CMA, the Country Music Association Awards, Wednesday night. And, you know, the country music community is – one of the things that I love about them is not only are they for the most part, you know, that God bless America, there's conservatives and liberals in every bunch, but for the most part, they are a pretty conservative crowd. They have very conservative values and ideals. And so it was really kind of refreshing to hear somebody make a little fun of the president, give the president a little jazz, and have people laugh at it and have fun with it. Pretty much everybody in the audience that they showed really was laughing and having a good time with it. Keith Urban looked like he was a little, I don't know, he had this weird smile on his face like he was gassy or something. I guess that he didn't want to laugh at it because he was afraid that his wife, Nicole Kidman, would not get any more work in Hollywood if he were to chuckle about such Obamacare musings. But so there was that. That was a lot of fun. Like I said, there was elections this week in Virginia and New Jersey. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie was soundly reelected, roundly beat his Democrat opponent. And I think that was no surprise. We all knew that was going to happen. And in Virginia really was, like I said, New Jersey really wasn't a surprise. I think everybody pretty much figured that Chris Christie was going to get reelected. I think also it's kind of common knowledge that he is having 2016 presidential perspirations. But really the real story, I think, was in Virginia because that was a pretty heated, contested race between the Republican Attorney General, Ken Cuccinelli, and former Clinton advisor slash fundraiser slash crony, Terry McAuliffe. And a couple of weeks ago, prior to the rollout of Obamacare, McAuliffe was up, he was up double digits in the race. And as soon as the whole Obamacare rollout started, his poll numbers started going down, 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 and they were, by the last week of the race, they were almost neck and neck. They were within, you know, points of each other. And at one point during the evening, Cuccinelli really was in the lead until all of the blue counties, the surrounding Washington, D.C. suburbs, all of those results started to come back, and that's kind of what threw it over the edge for Terry McAuliffe. But you know, another thing, too, that happened was that a lot of people who were working on the Cuccinelli campaign were coming out afterwards and saying that basically that the GOP had kind of abandoned the campaign in the last days. And, you know, there's track records of that all over the country, and especially here in Missouri, that the GOP has a pretty good track record of kind of abandoning people, you know, for whatever reason or other, when someone from the establishment decides that they are not a worthy candidate. Man, if they decide in midstream that you are not a worthy candidate, you know, say your prayers, because they are going to pack their bags and flee in the middle of the night, and you're not going to see them again. And a lot of the things, too, also that turned it for Terry McAuliffe was that because of those surrounding blue counties, surrounding Washington, D.C., those Virginia suburbs there, you have a lot of government workers that live there, too. And a lot of those people were affected by the government shutdown. And so I think they were a little hacked off and probably taking it out on Ken Cuccinelli, unfortunately. But, you know, we'll see if Terry McAuliffe would like to fundamentally transform Virginia. Let's hope not. My condolences to my friends in Virginia on your loss. But, you know, it's the GOP, it seems like that they are almost, there's a faction of the GOP, and I would almost go as far as to say that, again, it's a faction of the establishment that they're becoming comfortable. They're becoming content with losing. And, you know, they're becoming content with losing to guys like Terry McAuliffe. I mean, Terry McAuliffe is, you know, he's not the nicest guy in the world. First of all, he was kind of the Clintons' attack dog during the night for the most part. And, you know, I think after the dust settled and all is said and done, that Republicans and conservatives in Virginia had to look around themselves and say, you know what, how did we lose to this guy? You know, how did we lose to a guy who, you know, to Terry McAuliffe? I mean, do you really need to say more? especially when you closed that lead-in, when you had a double-digit lead at one point, and you closed that lead-in, what is the problem? And so I think that maybe this might be a good time for people who call themselves true conservatives, maybe Tea Party conservatives, and people who are more moderate, maybe more establishment Republicans. Why do we keep losing elections over and over and over and over? Have your differences and hash out those differences. But if we want to make any kind of a difference, if we want to start winning elections in 2014, in 2016, and beyond that, we're going to have to figure out why we're losing these elections and deal with the problem and maybe put the infighting amongst ourselves to the side just a little bit. Obviously not getting us anywhere. I think you're going to have those factions of the party, I think. But, you know, this is not helping. It's not doing us any good because we're losing to guys like Terry McAuliffe. And, you know, plain and simple, bottom line, that's got to stop. It's just got to stop. But couple other things here, couple other little tidbits here. Toronto Mayor Rob Ford, I guess we've all seen him on the Internet, on YouTube, on various other places. Wow, he's a piece of work, isn't he? You know, I never agreed with Ted Kennedy on one single thing, but the one single thing that I probably did agree with him on, it is 5 o'clock somewhere. So I don't begrudge the guy, you know, being the mayor is probably hard work. And so I don't begrudge him going out and getting his party on and you know, cutting loose and kicking back a little bit. But he's kind of taken it to a whole extreme. I mean, he's first of all, he's admitted to smoking crack. So that's a whole nother, you know, can of worms, a whole nother crack pipe. And, you know, his friends are making these videos of him, you know, going into these drunken rants and stupors and calling people names and dropping F-bombs all over the place. And, you know, oh, my God, you know, Toronto, help me out. I mean, is there a reason why this guy is – how did this guy get elected, basically? I guess is what I want to know. But then there was also, you know, what a day without – Uncle Joe Biden is like a day without, well, I don't know. It's like a day without Joe Biden, basically. But Joe Biden attempted to call the newly elected mayor-elect Marty Walsh of Boston this week when he won the mayoral election in Boston. And, you know, Joe, God love him, Joe Biden. Joe tried to call Marty Walsh, but didn't quite get it that there was more than one Marty Walsh in the Boston phone book. And not only did he get the wrong Marty Walsh once, he got the wrong Marty Walsh twice. And so I guess what he should have done basically maybe was just kind of put out a press release to anybody named Marty Walsh who lives in the Boston area and congratulate them on becoming mayor. And so that way at some point he would have hit the correct Marty Walsh and the correct Marty Walsh, the new mayor-elect of Boston, would have gotten his congratulatory message from Joe Biden. So there's that. So maybe next time he can just put out just one giant press release to everybody with the same name. Anyway, before I go, I would like to say Happy Veterans Day to all of the veterans out there. I want to say thank you for your service. Thank you for defending freedom and liberty. And thank you for defending our country. From the bottom of all of our hearts, we do thank you, and we appreciate everything that you do. Also, I would like to say, please look up conservativecauldron.blogspot.com. That is where it all began. There is a great new reading up there about the Tea Party being compared to the KKK, so there's that. Also go to examiner.com. There's plenty of good stuff to read there. And you can find me on Twitter at Patriot Witch. So I would like to thank everybody for hanging out with me tonight. Thanks for everybody for listening, and I will see you next time. You're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I'm your host, Becky Noble. Thanks for listening, and I will see you next time.
You're listening to the Conservative Cauldron, Bewitching Radio.